We can validate your opinion if you took the time to write into the show. 'Cause it's a great debate. Maybe we'll learn something new, 'cause the input comes directly from you for this show. 'Cause it's a great debate. If you don't think our picks are great, a Twitter poll decides its fate. Don't hate us. It's a great debate.
Yeah, I think I could really go pro with this.
Hello and welcome to A Storm of Spoilers, season tour. My name is Dave Gunskill-Zales.
My name is Joanna Robinson, but if, since we are doing spooky Twitter names right now, I just want to give context for mine. I will go with the one that got me in trouble last year, which is Joanna Robbins, Son of Sam.
And I'm Neil Miller, and I struggle with mine. I've never used it on my Twitter because it comes out as Real Killer, but with an R-E-I-L. There's just something about that to me that looks like it's in Mein Kampf. So, like...
It's either in that or an Eminem song about Venom, for sure.
Right. It looks like something that is like a dog whistle to like the hardcore Nazis in the world. And I just can't do it. So I've never done it because I can't come up with a better one that doesn't look like Nazis wrote it.
So all of us are not only doing our like spooky Twitter names, but the ones that we're not going to do on Twitter for various not wanting to deal with grief reasons. It's good. It's thematically coherent.
Yeah, I mean, I envy the people who can do, like, funny ones.
Yeah.
Hey, but if you have funny Twitter or spooky Twitter names for us that are not about, like, political messages about firearms or real serial killers that actually kill people, so maybe you shouldn't make that a joke, Joanna, or Neil's dog whistle Mein Kampfian thing, go ahead and tweet at us at Storm of Spoilers if you come up with a good, fun, like, punny, spooky name for us. And if I see it and I like it, I will change my name.
Real stakes.
I'm into that.
This is, of course, the episode about real stakes. It's a great debate for the best Halloween movie. If you are a patron at our Patreon page, that's patreon.com/stormofspoilers, at the Maester and Small Council level, you'll get a bonus segment about horror TV in 2018. It's going to be like a mini great debate, but it's more going to serve as like a recommendation poll thing. You'll get that in your
special. We haven't come up with a good name for it yet.
No.
We'll get there.
I'm sure we will by the time the segment rolls.
And if you come up with a fun, spooky pun name for it, go ahead and tweet us at a Storm of Spoilers.
And then also, your weekly reminder that Con of Thrones is coming up next year, July 12th through 14th in Nashville, and tickets are on sale now. You could get tickets now. Nashville, Tennessee. I said it like Night Vale for some reason. It's a spooky week.
Nashville.
Spooky week on Star Wars.
Well, Nashville. Welcome to Nashville.
Welcome to Nashville. Joanna, I hear you got some reviews and other business.
I do. Speaking of our Patreons, I just want to drop some Patreon biz in here really quickly. Number one is that our movie club this month, in our Patreon, which is like, if you are in the small council level of our Patreon, you get to watch a movie with us once a month. We have a vote on it. This month we are doing a Halloween theme, obviously, and the voting is very close. Currently, with 2 days to go and probably one day when you hear this, Beetlejuice is ahead at 40%. Hocus Pocus is at 37%. We've also got Cabin in the Woods and Evil Dead 2/Army of Darkness is way losing, so it doesn't matter. That was going to be a runoff anyway. So point is, you can go, if you are a small council member, you can go and vote on either Beetlejuice or Hocus Pocus, and then we will be watching that this month, and I'm actually really excited for either of those. The other thing that our Patreon peeps know about that I want to announce to you is that we have new merch. That got rolled out slowly. Our small council got it first and they get a special discount. Then our maesters got it. And now everyone gets it. There's still some maester and small club, small council exclusive merch that's still away from the public eye. But you, our dear listeners who are not in our Patreon, can now go to, are you ready? I'm going to work on this URL because it's a little ungainly, but for right now, you can go to www.hellomerch.com/collections/a-storm-of-spoilers. That's hellomerch.com/collections/a-storm-of-spoilers with a hyphen between each word. We've got, the Chaos is Lit shirt is back, which was a really, like, by popular demand. You guys really like that shirt. It's back. We've got a fun new, like, just plain old Storm of Spoilers shirt if you want to just go around and actually, like, you know, boast of the podcast that you listen to. And then we've got an enamel pin for the first time ever in our merch store. We've got an enamel pin that says hashtag don't fall down. It's really cute. I really like it.
Who's already wearing his enamel pin around Denver, Colorado?
I love enamel pins.
Dave Guns Kills Alice.
That's right.
You know what we should do? We should take one of Dave's fun URLs and have it redirect to our merch store.
Oh, yes. We will work on that. On finding a fun URL for the store that will direct automatically there. So I am not yelling hyphen into the microphone anymore. But yeah, so there's a couple shirts, enamel pin. We're going to be expanding upon the collection, but this is what we decided to start with. So you can go get that now. And the shirts are really, really comfy and nice cotton. The enamel pins, I don't have mine yet, but, I've seen photos of them on other people's like backpacks and jackets and stuff, and they look really cool. So, you know, it could just be like a little reminder to you not to fall down if you still are among the still standing this year. And then the last thing, you know, this is my section where I get to read reviews. I will just say we have a 2-star review. I won't read it out because it's just a repeat of last week's one that Neil read about, not enjoying us reading out the names. But we're not going to stop that. Though if I get enough feedback, I might talk about moving it. But anyway, we got a 2-star review. I hear you. I read it. I'm thinking about it. And then
they didn't like my music tips.
Man, many good tips last week.
It was like lots of tips. It was a pretty good tip. And then I'll read this other one from Funny Comic Talk, 5 stars, shockingly good. I've been a fan of Storm of Spoilers for a while, but I'm constantly surprised at how much I enjoy every new twist and turn they take. Off-season tour. Loved it. The Calm and the Storm sections. Loved it. Don't even get me started on Don't Fall Down Watch. I'm always excited to check in on my SOS crew. I love them all, but there's nothing better than hearing Dave and Neil cajole Joanna into fits of uncontrollable laughter. Keep doing what you're doing. So I just wanted to read that one because it's really nice for us all three to be back together. You guys did a great job last week, but I like it when it's all three of us. Thank you for the week off.
The
I'm glad to be back.
Long Joanna Fett has ceased.
No, actually, we're going to go.
Throw away the garland. Oh, wait, no.
No, I still.
Save the garlands.
I still have some events of Joanna Fest 2018.
I'm telling you, there are two people that I consider close friends that this is the strangest thing to me. I don't even like to celebrate my birthday on the day. And they're like, between Joanna and my roommate Theo, it's like, we got a whole month planned to celebrate. This is my month. We got everything going on. It's crazy. It's so
funny.
I'm going to make some crazy shit.
I'm actually doing something in November. Is that a lot? That's really bad.
So yours is more like a rolling 6 weeks.
And then it'll be done. It's just one more thing in November, and then it'll be done. Though I did get a lovely...
moon cycle.
I did... Yeah, it's like a moon cycle. It's true. All right. So that's all my stuff.
That means it's time for Neil to take us into the storm.
Yeah, let's do some storm chasing.
Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, there you go. Pew. We got the real pew pews back, not the knockoffs last week.
The deeper ones.
The deeper ones.
Thunderous pew.
The thunderous pew. Yeah, the thunder lightning. Anyway, doesn't matter. So I'll start. I was going to do a rant about the Run the Jewels song from Venom again, but I did it before we started, and it needs some work. Anyway, I would like to talk about the National Basketball Association, which is coming back this week. This is the we started putting together the notes for this show, I was like, oh shit, I haven't watched anything else except for all day today I watched the Ringers NBA Palooza. Like, they did this like live stream all day where they had different like shows, and it was just great. And I saw our friend Jason Concepcion, who we met at Con of Thrones last year, doing lots of basketball talk. Love it. So I'm happy to have the NBA back. It's back as of right now when we're recording this. And I'll be watching a lot of that and talking about LeBron James a lot. So get ready.
Okay, yay.
Isn't he Gwangi? I've learned
yeah.
about LeBron James recently.
I won't be talking about LeBron James a lot on this podcast. I'll be doing it on Twitter.
As long as he is Gwangi.
I think. I don't know what that is.
Neil.
I know what that is? I don't know.
Well, who plays Michi?
Oh, I don't know.
Zendaya.
Oh, that's that thing.
And LeBron James is Gwangi.
Is he now?
Danny DeVito is Dorgle.
I've never watched that video.
Comment
stuff. Oh, guess what, Neil? It's delightful.
I did see the version where he did Tom Hardy. I think it was the same guy or some different guy where he's like, Tom Hardy is Venom. And he just kept going.
I'm pretty like, salty about the memes that the children love. And I'm like, what is this meme? I don't like this meme. I don't understand the children. Not so much Zendaya is Michi. Because first of all, it taught me that I was pronouncing this woman's name wrong. And I might still be pronouncing wrong, but I'm closer than I used to be when I said Zendaya. It's not Zendaya. And it's just, I don't know. It's the right amount of absurd. Absurd. Storm of spoilers, where we talk about month-old memes. Yay!
Anyway.
I just assumed everybody would knew that LeBron James was Gwangi, and that was a natural conversation. That was my mistake.
But anyway,
it was a sports thing I didn't understand. I was like, oh no, he's talking sports.
Anyway, in short, I'm excited about the year of LeBron James taking over both the entertainment world as Gwangi and the return of actual basketball to television screens. You know what I'm really excited about? One of my favorite TV shows to watch is Inside the NBA, which is the TNT show that they have after all the games. And it's Ernie Johnson, who just seems like the nicest man of all time. He's like your nice uncle. Anyway. But Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, and Shaq, and it might be the best comedy on television most years. So I'm excited tonight to stay up late and watch Inside the NBA. Joanna, please direct us away from sports into something else.
Well, I'm just going to admit something to you guys here because it's safe, right? So like, here's something.
Yeah, no one's listening to this.
Here's something I know about sports. LeBron is a Laker this year, right?
Yes.
So I knew that. I knew that like LeBron left your team, Neil, for right. the Lakers.
And it's
so
okay.
I thought
we
maybe
won a championship.
Gwangi was slang for like
oh, like he's like Goyim?
Benedict Arnold.
He went all Gwangi on it. So no one saw Smallfoot, but just by the nature of it, the character name.
It's some sort of weird old racist term that has just been turned
turncoat. No. I did not think that we were. No. I just thought it was like a sports thing because I
That's
was
funny.
Only like half listening and then. No. Okay. All right.
I like that. Okay. So plant the flag here.
Yep.
Spring of 2019. Joanna bursts into laughter. Well, while describing the plot of Game of Thrones, someone goes Gwangi.
Right.
Calling it now.
Gwangi.
We're not going to.
Well, actually, you know what? It probably works.
Oh, I'm sure it works.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to see Smallfoot, but it works in the song, so it works for me.
I mean, now I have to see Smallfoot. I got to know what Gwangi's deal is.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of roles is LeBron James signing up for? Because this is a big thing. He's in LA now, so more LeBron. Like, did you guys watch the barbershop thing with Jon Stewart being the only white guy? It was awesome.
Do you think he's going to go like full Gwangi now that he's in LA?
I mean, LeBron James says the F word so many times in the barbershop thing. I was like, oh my God, LeBron, my mom likes you. And, but he was very real and I loved it and I can't wait for more. So there's, that was a lot of basketball talk.
All right.
Oh, full Gwangi. So- full Gwangi.
Now we have to have a Gwangi t-shirt.
All right, so let's roll on to my bed of storm chasing, which is a teaser of sorts for our Patreon-only horror TV debate, because like I was planning for storm chasing to talk about The Haunting of Hill House, which if you are like follow me on Twitter or are on the Slack, you've heard me talk incessantly about.
Or if you follow anyone on Twitter this week, geez, this has been everywhere.
No, I'm special. It's just me talking about it. no, I mean, I heard about it from friend of the pod, Lindsay Romaine. She was tweeting about it like a couple weeks ago, and I only watched it because of her, because anyway, I'm burning pod. That's something we're going to talk about elsewhere. But I will say that that show was written and adapted by, written and directed by, I believe he directed it, Mike Flanagan, who is, like, that meant something to a lot of people. It didn't mean anything to me before I watched Haunting of Hill House. Now it does, because I had seen Oculus, which is an earlier film that he had done, just because, like, my friends and I used to have this thing we called Horror 101, because, like, my friends were, horror experts, and I am, like, a horror wuss and novice. And so they would, like, show me horror films to sort of, like, get me better into horror. So we watched Oculus. I don't remember why. Like, a couple of years ago. It was on Netflix. We watched it. Karen
Gillan.
Is that
Gillan. The one with Karen? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Karen Gillan's in it, and, Katie Sackhoff and stuff like that. So, like, that's kind of, like, you know, how they got me. They're like, Joanna, you like Karen Gillan? I'm like, I do. Okay. But so I kind of dismissed Oculus when I saw it then, or we were drunk and had a lot of fun making fun of it. But I rewatched, Oculus, Gerald's Game, which is something Mike Flanagan did last year, that I know had like really good reviews last year. I just didn't manage to see it because I am a horror wuss. And Hush, which is another film that he made with his wife, Kate Siegel, who is in Haunting of Hill House. And, she's actually in all of his stuff. She's in Gerald's Game and she's in Oculus too, as well. Something that I don't know if you guys ever do this, cause it feels like a luxury. Like no one has time to do this anymore. But if you watch one person's work, like sort of back to back to back, as we've done sometimes, like when we do like a Steven Spielberg episode or whatever it is, and you start to see like the various themes that like interest them and that recur over and over again in their work. Anyway, watching Oculus after watching The Haunting of Hill House, like Oculus is just like, you know, a freshman in high school's like version of Haunting of Hill House, because it's about like, you know, a family that is driven mad by, you know, ghosts in a house, and it's takes place in the past and the present, stuff like that. It's the same setup. Gerald's Game has a lot of similarity, not just the fact that like Henry Thomas and Carla Gugino are also in that, but because it's like, once again, the trauma of the past, which is a very Stephen King thing, like, affecting your current trauma and just sort of this idea of versions of yourself talking to you. Gerald's Game is everything everyone said it was. It's just really good. And then Hush is a little bit, it's a little gimmicky because it's about, a woman who is deaf and mute, you know, played by Mike Flanagan's wife, and, John Gallagher Jr. plays this, like, you know, serial killer who shows up at her house and tries to kill her. And like, basically Mike Flanagan kind of wanted to do this, like, very filmmaker thing of like, oh, I really wanted to make a film with like no dialogue whatsoever, but that was kind of boring. So put some dialogue in there, but mostly, you know, this woman is like deaf and mute. So how does she survive? Like someone stalking in her house. So there's like some fun gimmicks in there, but like ultimately it doesn't have anything. It feels like super deep to say, whereas like Mike Flanagan's other stuff I think has a lot of really interesting deep things to say in the genre of horror, which I find fascinating. I'll be talking much more about Haunting of Hill House in our bonus episode, but all of that stuff, Hush, Oculus, and Gerald's Game are all on Netflix, as is Haunting of Hill House. The only Mike Flanagan thing that I didn't manage to watch was like Ouija Origin of Evil or whatever, because it's not available to stream, but that's got some of his Haunting of Hill House cast in it as well, including Elizabeth Reaser and Henry Thomas. So, you know,
that's a horror movie sequel that I saw and I'm like, I don't need to see the first one. That was what it needed to be on its own.
Awesome.
So. Man, I really, it's interesting that you brought up the watching a filmmaker's work. I am starting to feel that that's like the best way to study, you know, to best way to consider filmmakers, like, instead of comparing them to one another, you know, instead mm-hmm. of comparing contemporaries, you just compare the work that that one person does over the course of their career. I think it's really interesting. But also I wanted to bring up, since you mentioned Hush, a really interesting wrinkle that we saw when Hush came out was that, like folks in the disabled community were like, they really liked it.
Yeah.
Kristen Lopez, who I know a lot of film Twitter folks know, wrote an article for my site, Film School Rejects, about how it handled disability really well and stuff like that. So I think that's actually where I first sort of pegged, Mike Flanagan as an interesting person, but I have not yet watched Hill House because I'm a scaredy cat. So.
You will, my friend. You will.
Well, from imagined horrors and Gwangi going for Gwangi to
Dave's about to go Gwangi on this segment.
I guess. I went to a wedding this weekend that was outside Philadelphia and had some time to kill in the city proper, and decided to go to the Mutter Museum, which is a museum of medical oddities and crazy things.
A very Dave
thing. It's the most Dave thing to do.
Yeah, so Katie Rich.
I would have gone to see that bell.
Basically, we'll see. Yeah, I was.
But then again, it's just a bell.
Yeah, it's just a bell. I don't. Anyway.
Sorry, so Philadelphia.
Katie's like, go to the Mutter Museum. I'm like, okay, definitely, if I have some time. Definitely had some time. Was slightly hungover from the wedding the night before. So I had like a slice of pizza and I thought things are going to be fine. If you're at the least bit nauseous, do not go to the Mutter Museum. It started off pretty nice with like the top level. There's like a soap lady, which is a woman who decomposed in a particular way so that her body fat basically like became soap, which is like a way of preserving. And she kind of looks like she's in a silent scream, which is terrifying, but that's not like too bad. And then there's like a wall full of skulls and how they all like died, like child killer, you know, hung in public square, or like, you know, mumps untreated, 8 years old. So you're looking at all these different skull shapes. You're like, yeah, that's interesting. Then you like descend into like the medical oddities parts, or in this case, the exhibit parts, which was on Civil War injuries. And they're wax sculptures or actual preserved skeletons, if that's the kind of deformity that you're looking at, of like horrible medical things that we, you know, didn't understand or thought were maybe, you know, people mating with chickens, or were gigantism that we thought were actual giants. And they were all eventually captured by science and cataloged correctly. But because they went through the world with this very interesting history, there's all sorts of like weird apocrypha around them, illustrated books that call, you know, like certain births monstrous births. There's a wall full of like drawers that you would keep, I don't know, like butterfly specimens in or something at another museum. It's this doctor's collection of things that he's pulled out of people's stomachs that they swallowed. Mm-mm. And like every time you just open the drawer, mm-mm. it's like a surprise, like horror show. And then, like, right towards the gift shop is when they actually have, you know, the money shot of the Mutter Museum, which is, like, your conjoined fetuses or your crazy cyclops fetuses that have been preserved for, like, 100 years in formaldehyde. They are incredibly creepy. I was very nauseous. I did not stay as long as I really wanted to absorb it all. So next time I'm in Philadelphia... not drinking, going back to the Mutter Museum.
You're going back.
Why?
I'm going back.
That's the best part of that whole story. I can't wait to go back.
Gwangi, no.
Interesting.
That is how you go full Gwangi.
I'm not usually that type of person that like can't watch like a, you know, like medical show or a, you know, a friend's knee surgery. I don't know. That's happened to me a few times. But like those things usually don't bother me. But for some reason, the Mutter Museum was just like, oh, like there's this guy whose joints started fusing over with bone, but he just like had the misfortune of being born in the early 1900s. So he just like lives to be 39 and slowly just has to like stand all the time because he can't move. And he like donates his skeleton to to science so that people could like figure it out. And because he donates it to science, we like can treat that better now. But there's his skeleton. He like died this horrible death and lived this horrible life. It's really interesting, but you know, just I picked the wrong stomach continents to do it.
Cool.
Partial guagi.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I didn't listen to all of that.
You lost
gross.
Me. You lost me at Soap Lady, and you never got me back.
Yeah.
In the gift shop, they have Soap Lady soap, and I was like, no.
Wait, it's
I mean,
not like
obvious,
the real.
No.
It's like just normal soap, though.
No,
right?
But it looks like a female woman screaming into eternity that's been like melting.
No.
Just, it's like pink because it's soap. Oh.
Cool.
Anyway. Definitely check it out if you're in the Philadelphia area, though. It's really cool and macabre, if that's your thing. What a good way
not
to transition.
Be doing that. All right, sorry. What?
Let's have some more fun with the spooky season, though, right after this break. And we're back to have another great debate. This week's debate, it's the best Halloween movie. We're going to narrow that down for at least our topics a little bit more to do best movie to watch on Halloween, because Halloween's coming up and there's a lot of good movies to watch on the Halloween season. It's ridiculous to limit you to one.
Also, but we don't want it to be confused with next week's topic, which is the Halloween franchise, like the Halloween movie franchise.
Right. Or, so next movie, we'll even crown another best Halloween.
Or the following week, where Neil and I have decided we're just going to do a witches podcast.
Witches. That's the title of the episode.
Not to be
confused. We don't know if it's a debate or...
not to be confused with the Roald Dahl book and or Angelica Houston adaptation.
Oh man, that movie messed me up so hard. I can't wait to talk about it.
Wait, are we doing a witches episode? Okay, we're doing a witches episode that definitely does include witches.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
I don't see any reason why we wouldn't bring it
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
Well, Joanna said not to.
Well, I'm just saying it's not only, not limited to, I should say.
Oh, got it.
Got it?
Well, there's a bunch, there's witchy stuff, other stuff too. It'll be fine.
It.
We should.
Yeah, 2 weeks, we'll definitely have this nailed down.
What do you want to watch on Halloween? You got to pick one movie to go to your desert pumpkin and watch a movie. I couldn't come up with a good one. Like, you're alone on Halloween.
I was running out of sentence.
The trick-or-treaters are gone because you killed them.
I said, you're desert, and I knew I had to say a word, and I was running out of time, and the sentence was ending, and so I just said, pumpkin.
Which would probably also allow me to win Family Feud, because pumpkin's got to be the first word everybody thinks about when they think about Halloween, right?
You're desert guagi.
Anyway, so what's the best movie if you're just going to watch one movie on Halloween?
Yeah.
Which you're probably like not, but that's fine.
Another terrible year where Halloween's on Wednesday, so that's probably what you're doing.
Yeah,
you're watching a movie.
Because you have to work the next day. I get it.
Exactly. I'm going to make Joanna go first, because this movie has an anniversary this week.
Hmm.
Well, I was just aiming for a little bit of counter programming, because, you know, like sometimes when we do this podcast, I like to like hang with the boys, because I'm like cool like that, and I can hang with boys. But sometimes when it's like horror movies, and gruesome ghoulish stuff, I'm like, maybe I'll hang with the girls. So this movie is Practical Magic, which is a Nicole Kidman, Sandra Bullock joint from the late 90s. And I watched it recently because it's on Netflix, and what a joy it is to behold. So I'm just envisioning the scenario where you're home, it's Halloween, you're home, maybe you're having a girls' night, like girls' night in, you want to see like the trick-or-treaters. I'm not trying to limit this to gender. Do whatever you want. Boys, if you want to watch this, ladies and gents, if you want to watch this together, if you have not chosen your gender yet and want to watch this, whatever, I don't care. But I will say, from a stereotypical girly point of view, this movie is A, hair goals, B, margarita goals, C, I want to turn in to Stockard Channing and Diane Weiss, crazy old aunties goals. Like, it's really a delightful, strange movie that exists. It's kind of crazy that like future Oscar winners Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman, who are like, at least Nicole Kidman at that point was not like not an Oscar kind of actress are in this, like, witch rom-com slash, like, horror slash
whatever it is. Okay, see, that's what I remember from it when I first saw it, was that it felt like it was kind of two different things at different times in the movie.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, this, like, abuse possession plot line.
Yeah.
That's going on with this,
but that's, I mean, but that's like, but that's fairly like, it's not, I'm like wholly unsurprising of the 90s, because I think that there was like a lot of like, oh, your husband's bad, that's okay, let's play like a, let's play the Dixie Chicks and you'll find a better man.
Remember like, First Wives Club?
Sort of, I mean, like, this is way worse abuse than First Wives Club, absolutely, but it's still, I don't know. You're right. It is an odd, like, match of tone. And I think it ends with Sixpence on the Richer, or Sixpence on the Richer somewhere in there, I think. Mm, you know, so it's yes. Like, or maybe it's Faith Hill. It's one of those. Something like that's happening in this movie. Shout out to, the gents of this movie whose name I did not look up, but I just want to make sure I get it right because it's like,
probably a Dermot or a
no. I mean, yes. Aiden Quinn's in it, who might as well be a Dermot or a Dylan, like absolutely. But it was Goran Visnik's name that I didn't want to fuck up. Goran Visnik of, I might have mispronounced it, but of ER fame, is quite like fun. Awful demon in this. There's also a baby Evan Rachel Wood, a nice Mark Feuerstein cameo. Never go wrong with a Mark Feuerstein cameo. So, Practical Magic. I think it is a delightful film. Let me inspire you to fire it up on your Netflix, even if it's not on Halloween night, but maybe on Halloween. The end.
I like it. Fun.
Fun.
Hey, witches. Sneaking in.
Witches, margaritas, hair, baby.
Wait, okay, so what is it that they dance to?
You put the lime in the coconut.
Mmm, Nielsen. Good. I like it. Okay, you know what? I might need to watch some Practical Magic again.
Yeah.
It feels like, even if it is uneven, like I remember it, that nostalgia push is gonna give me what I need to get through. So I'm into it. But obviously not going to vote for you because I have the correct answer.
Sure.
Which is Paranorman.
Oh.
By, you know, the Laika animated movie distributed by Focus Features. What to say about this movie that I haven't already said about this movie on our Laika special / in real life?
I tried to like talk Dave out of doing this because I was like, I swear I've heard you advocate for Paranorman before. He's like, yeah, and I'm gonna do it again. So
when am I gonna stop advocating for Paranorman? Never. Let's talk about watching Paranorman again in 2018 and how witch hunts that might not be real and maybe whipped up by society as a reaction to bullying by an institution is proven to be false when you could just sit down and face your monster and talk it through. Now, Paranorman might be proved to be easier to talk to like ghosts and zombies because his power is to talk to the dead, which is an inherited power, which some of his family has. Really early on, he's found by his homeless uncle, who tells him that he is the key to lifting the curse of the witch on the town of Blythe Hollow, Massachusetts. But not important. What is important is that this is about being bullying and feeling like a weirdo or an outsider, both in the school and in your community, who is all about something that you're very much not about. Norman's community of Blythe Hollow is making money off this witch legend that ends up being based on basically needless persecution of a little girl. And at the end, the conflict all comes together with some beautiful animation that just goes to show that if you empathize with your enemies and if you turn away from the need to necessarily bully them as like a natural evolution of human behavior, that we're able to become better than ourselves and better than our history, which hopefully still applies in 2018. I will say rewatching it I'm a lot more into the animation still than I am to that applying it to modern day politics. But only because I think that, you know, certain people like Tucker Carlson shouldn't necessarily get to eat out in restaurants without being yelled at. That's neither here nor there.
Sorry.
The important thing I feel is that there's beautiful animation in this spooky movie. It has like a B-movie zombie feel right from the beginning when it sort of apes a really bad zombie movie that he's watching with his ghost grandmother. And then it sort of carries all the way through with little zombie and witch and horror movie nods in style along the way. I also really love how this movie's designed to not have a lot of right angles, but it's not typically like Tim Burton-y where everything's necessarily at a cant. It's just everything's just off enough for the whole world to feel slightly more lived in. And that's something that you don't get when you plug a algorithm that says make emoji movie city into a computer and it spits something back out. or, you know, make plot and then it changes one of your characters into a bear. And then Paranorman loses the best animated feature Oscar.
Wow. Wow.
So,
wow.
Paranorman, you should have won in 2012. And I'm out here rooting for you to win.
Still
this great debate.
Shitting on Brave. This many
Still
years
later. Shitting on Brave.
This many years later.
I will take it to my very grave that Paranorman was absolutely robbed. And yeah, still good for 2018. Paranorman, do it. Good for all ages.
Nice.
Yeah.
I actually think that you and I are on the same wavelength here, Dave, because we both picked movies that are sort of like Halloween mashups.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, like Paranorman's got a bunch of witch and zombie and it's got all the different Halloween ideas. My pick, which very surprised that I am the person who picked the only one with like, that's like legit scary at times. But it's also fun and it also has, demons and, buses and it's called Trick or Treat. I don't have a it's funny.
I've never seen it. So like you say demons and then buses.
You know.
All right.
Those two classic elements.
Let me give you a better pitch.
Demons and buses.
It is an anthology movie. It has five interwoven stories that are all sort of Halloween themed. It all happens on Halloween night.
Except so for the one about buses.
There's like a kid's bus accident that causes it. And some of it, it's interesting because it's Mike Doherty who did like the Krampus movie. He's got a real holiday thing. He's also written a bunch of the X-Men movies. So aside from being friends with Bryan Singer, I assume he seems like an okay guy.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. But this is one of my favorite, movies on Halloween because it tells multiple, Halloween stories that are, you know, like one of them's about the college virgin who meets her dream guy and it all goes terribly wrong. There's one about a teenage prank that goes wrong. It's basically everything just goes wrong. There's like a one about a lady who hates Halloween. There's one about an old man who's very mean to trick-or-treaters and like a demon comes for him. So, but what I love about it is it's a good scare, but it's a light scare. Like there's some of it that's scary, but there's some of it that's funny. Very good, but relatively under the radar cast. Like the most famous people in this movie are Anna Paquin and Leslie Bibb. Brian Cox is in it. So it's just, and there's like a bunch of people in it that you would recognize and are just always good. And so it's great. And it's got this really, great, almost, it's like, if this were coming to Netflix now, it would be an anthology like Black Mirror. It would be just like a Halloween anthology and people would love it. It was just made in 2007 and had to be a movie and it's only 82 minutes long. So it feels kind of like a long episode of TV. So, I'm a big fan. But it is rated R. There is some legit scary, gory, disturbing stuff in it. But it's a mix of all kinds of different things.
Plus buses.
Plus the bus. Yeah, what's plaguing me right now is that I can see the bus sequence. I just can't remember it because I didn't actually watch the movie this year yet. I'm going to wait until close to Halloween. So I can't remember what happens. I just remember it's a very compelling scene. But you probably, if you've ever seen anything about this movie, you've probably seen the little kid who's in like raggy, he's in like a raggy onesie and he's got like a demonic pumpkin head sort of thing going on that's like in a burlap sack and he's just sort of being creepy. He's in this. So
that's the Brian Cox segment.
Yeah, because Brian Cox plays the old man who's mean, and then this like supernatural being takes over a trick or treater, and it's gnarly. And I am like Joanna. I don't do the horror. I don't like. I couldn't even listen to Dave describe whatever it is he did in Philadelphia. I'm not sure what he said earlier. So. If I am the one recommending the most hardcore movie on this list, it's all relative, is what I'm saying.
Well, it's also really cool because this was around my era of, going to theaters in New York as a little whippersnapper and watching Halloween movies. And this was like, Trick or Treat was going to be like the anti-Saw. It was going to be an anthology franchise that you could churn out, specifically every calendar year. But then they messed up the release somehow. I don't know. I forget exactly the details of it. Like maybe the distributor, Warner Brothers and Legendary had some sort of disagreement or had to like buy someone out. But it premiered in like December 9th, 2007.
December?
So yeah. It was really poorly
guys,
handled.
That's not when Halloween is.
That's
right. And then it took forever to like, and I don't think I ended up seeing it in like a theater until like 2009, maybe? Yes.
Later.
So it was released. Hello? Yeah, it was released.
That was so suspenseful. No.
I was reading data.
I was like, how long are Neil and I going to sit here and wait for Dave to finish this? Dave Gonzalez. Yeah.
No, do we have to do his Twitter name? Dave Kill Gonzalez.
That's
Kill.
What it is.
Guns Kill Zalas.
His Twitter name is not pro gun, it's anti gun. Dave Guns Kill Zalas. Dave Guns Kill Zales.
Can you hear me now?
Hey,
yay!
There you are. Welcome back.
Hey.
We Beetlejuiced you back, but unfortunately you lost the debate because you dropped out of the call. Sorry.
See, here's the thing.
Did you keep talking?
I could hear you guys, all of it.
Oh, that's great.
So for me, there was no interruption. You guys just started talking over my very standard points where I was like, Trick or Treat was released on DVD and Blu-ray in 2009, which was also the first time it was even possible to be screened theatrically. So I saw it in some like,
and then we were just
New
being
York
like
basement
rude
two
little
years after it was supposed to be competitive.
We were being rude little monkeys and being like blah 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 blah.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just leave.
I feel
all
like
that
it all has to be in.
Start talking.
It'll just be super confusing. Well, yeah, and you're right. I think what happened because Mike Doherty actually went. He made Krampus, which is the Christmas-themed demon movie, in 2015 with Legendary, but it was at Universal, and this one was at Warner Brothers. So I think there was just a problem. There were some like contractual issues with the movie. It took a long time to come out, and it was very frustrating. Honestly, I think its problem was they came up with it 10 years too early. Like, this legit would be Black Mirror for horror for Halloween if it was being circulated right now to like a streaming network, but it's also still a good movie and it should win this poll because it's the only one that it has Trick or Treat in the title.
You are technically right about that. All right, so we're going to have a poll that is just our three picks.
Wait, is this Great Debate the best movie with the words Trick or Treat in the title?
Yeah. I mean, it can be if that's what the voters want. Voters are smart. They'll figure it out.
He's making factual statements. That's all I can hold that against.
Figure it out.
Figure it out.
So we're going to have a poll on this that goes up online, and these three: Paranorman, Practical Magic, Trick or Treat, which one of us is right. And then for our next segment coming after this break, we'll have some listener entries we have to pare down to a poll. We'll be right back.
And we are back. And, we've reached the point of the podcast where we do the thing that we get so many positive reviews about, which is read some names of our patrons who actually do give us money. So when you accuse them, be like, you just read their name because they gave you money. Yeah, that's what it is.
That's how commerce works.
Most things work. That's how you get hamburgers in this country. Anyway.
I want a hamburger now. All right.
Yeah. I'm getting hungry. I am going to start. I would like to thank this week the following people: Josh Dillard, Joshua Lane, Judy Wick, Jules TX, Jewel. Okay. Close enough. Justin Young, Kari D. King, Kate Dilligan, Kate Whitney, Catherine Truchon, Katie Zellner, Katie Salambier.
France.
Kelly Grady, Kendall Abernathy, and my bae, Christine Kippens. She knows what it means.
Yeah. I would like to thank Crystal Kettle, Kwang Yu Liu, Kurt Daniel Klein, Lauren Wagstaff, Lena Winter, Lytherion. I was laughing at that. Lily Lim, Liz Zilickelson, Liz Major, Liz Bisline. Oh, God. No, I know I screwed that up. Sorry, Liz. L'Oreal White, Louise Hallam Collins, Luna DeMello, Luigi Oswego, and Madison Ray. Maddie K. Ray. No?
Luan DeMello? That's the only one I'm going to push back on. Okay.
Luan DeMello? Luan DeMello.
Maybe. If I did better than Dave, I'm feeling great.
All right. I'm going to thank Maggie Craddock, Menu Mishra, Marcus Mascarelli, Mariana Cotto. Yep. Mark Tozar, Matt Campbell, Matthew McKee, Megan McLeod, Megan Meyer, Melanie Shu, Melanie Unruh Rodriguez, Melissa Horsfall, Melissa Slaughter, Michael Shanholtz, and Michael Sample. Thank you so much. We will continue with the Michaels next week.
I love how it happens to all of us, but you get a roll of like three or four where you're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And then you mess up an easy one.
I'm the-
Oh yeah, here's so many Megans. Oh no.
The names, it's just, y'all have perfect names for doing in order. It's hilarious. Okay, that's that segment. We can talk about more Halloween stuff now.
And we're back with more Halloween stuff. We're going to go through some listener emails to pick some listener favorite Halloween movies. I think what we decided is we're going to have a sub-poll of these, and then the winner of the listener emails is going to go up against our three as the champion of the listeners.
Right.
Yep, that was coherent.
We get the bye a week.
You didn't guangy that one at all. Yeah.
We'll figure it out. We'll get there. Don't worry.
No.
All right. We're going to figure it out. But here's some contestants from our favorite people, the listeners. I'm going to go with this first one from Chris, who writes to us. Hey, Joanna, Neil, and Dave. My favorite Halloween movie is The Halloween Tree. Based off the Ray Bradbury novel of the same name, this movie perfectly shows the meaning of Halloween and the power of friendship. It's the ones we made along the way. Aww. Written and narrated by Ray Bradbury himself, featuring music by John Debney, who would also do the music for Hocus Pocus that same year, and showcasing the voice talents of Leonard Nimoy, this all adds up to one of the greatest Halloween movies of all time. The Halloween Tree has four kids being whisked away on a magical journey to different time periods. They learn about the meaning behind their Halloween costumes, how different cultures celebrate Halloween, the rituals around accepting death, and facing one's own fear. I love this film. As a child born on November 1st, Halloween has always been a special day for me. I've watched so many films that use Halloween in some form or another. I always find something to love about them. But The Halloween Tree will always be number one. Thanks for allowing me some of your time. Chris.
Aww.
Nice. I could take this this next one.
Wait, yeah, hold on. Has anybody seen the Halloween
tree? I've never even heard of the Halloween tree. I'm really excited. Thanks, Chris.
I have also not seen the Halloween tree.
I'm now now very nervous about winning this debate because the more I read from these listener emails, they're very good.
Yeah, but do they have buses?
I don't know if they have buses. I don't know if they have Gwangi. I don't know. I'm not even sure what we talked about earlier. I'm
pretty sure one of these entries will have a Gwangi in it somehow.
Somewhere. I really like this next one, though. For a reason that is different than the reason I'm sure Joanna likes it. But here it goes. So, hello, Joanna, Neil, and Dave. I hope you're all doing well and having a perfectly spooky Octobers. I have a couple of Halloween go-tos depending on the type of fall day I'm having. That's actually very important. What mood are you in? The first kind of day is a sunny but cold day. All leaves are orange and there may be a hot cup of tea involved. Love it. For this, I love to put on practical magic.
Yeah.
It's delightfully witchy and all about women coming together to help protect and love each other in the face of an abusive and undead man, which... relevant. Not to mention there's Stalker Channing, Diane Wiest, Sandra Bullock, Nicole Kidman, and extremely young Evan Rachel Wood. The second type of fall day is when it's dark, rainy, and super creepy. Aren't we all just having a lot of super creepy days lately?
Yeah, super creepy time in our lives.
For this day, I love watching Suspiria. I first saw this when I was 11, arguably far too young, and while I'm normally very averse to horror movies, even now at 24... Oh, youth. I was instantly in love. I always used to bring my DVD copy to Halloween sleepovers and movie nights. I've effectively.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I've effectively convinced dozens of millennial girls in the East Bay to love this weird Italian witch ballerina horror film. Side note,
Sorry, I want to be friends with Chris.
Side note, I gasped out loud at work a few weeks ago when I heard Joanna talk about Luca Guadagnino's remake, and I can't wait to watch it as soon as humanly possible. Thanks for reading, and I can't wait to hear next week's episode, not least of all for the Great Debate jingle. Thanks, Chris. So yeah, I think Chris and Joanna are now best friends.
Yep.
I think. And that will likely help in the polls. So we're going to submit this one as Suspiria plus also helpful to Joanna in the poll.
Joanna plus. All right. I'm going to read one about a movie that I also, another movie I haven't seen. This is for me, it's Creepshow. This movie is a bit of a nostalgia play, but it definitely stands on its own in the genre. George A. Romero pairs with Stephen King to write and direct this 5-part anthology. Each chapter has a cast that is better than, is this a cheat? It's not a movie. That's fine. Each chapter has a cast that is way better than it ought to be. We have Ed Harris dancing. Great. Leslie Nielsen threatening Ted Danson. Great. I'm adding the greats. This is Joanna editorializing. Stephen King fighting alien moss. E.G. Marshall exploding with cockroaches and Hal Holbrook teaming with a crate monster to kill his wife. Fine time at the miniseries. That was me again. Okay. The movie is more than its incredible cast. It's a callback to horror comics from the 50s and it relishes in these visuals. Okay. So it sounds like it's actually a 5-part movie. I'm done, adding commentary. The movie from start to
I like this thing that we're doing where it's like the person who hasn't watched the movie is the one to read the video.
The movie from start to finish has the atmosphere of Halloween and late autumn every year. I kick off my October horror movie rewatch with Creepshow. I love that anthology format, the animated transitions, and the ridiculous dialogue. It's a blast. Try it out. Gage. Well, that's cool. That sounds fun. Creepshow.
Yeah, it's like it's similar to the movie I nominated, Trick or Treat, which is it's like a 5-part movie.
Does it have buses, though? I don't know.
I honestly don't remember if Creepshow has any buses.
Okay. I feel like there's a bus, but I don't think it's a memorable bus. I think it's just an incidental bus.
Oh, like your run-of-the-mill bus.
Just like a normal bus, like in the back. It's a background bus. A
background bus.
Not a foreground bus.
I've seen this next entry from Shane, who suggests Night of Living Dead. Dear Stormers, it's very hard to pick just one for this great debate. Watching horror movies during October is kind of something I view as a tradition. Funny, right? Because most people say that sincerely, and it's literally what everyone does, so it's entirely moot. Oh, that is funny. My all-time pick has to be the original, black and white, George Romero, Night of the Living Dead. It is incredibly realistic for a totally bullshit idea. The dead coming back to life to eat brains? No intestines. The camera work provides infinite dread. It is a fantastic movie apart from being an exemplar of its genre. Some of the creepiest parts exist in the negative space where people are just discussing who they are against the night, a quiet, or listening intently to an enigmatic radio broadcast. Obviously, it nails the landing, even if they didn't nail enough boards to the window.
Nice! Shane. Wordplay! Ooh. Wordplay, Shane!
Yeah.
They are so much better at this than I am.
Yeah.
It's very distressing.
It's also public domain, so you can see it everywhere! Ooh. Whenever you want! It's really easy to see it. It's on, like, every free streaming app you get on your Roku TV or box or whatever. Night of the Living Dead. I think you can even see it on archive.org. So, yeah, if you haven't seen it, definitely, like, seminal zombie film.
All right. I am going to take one that I confuse for Paranorman. Please don't kick me off the podcast, Dave. I'm a paradox. I love Halloween but hate horror movies. This rules out quite a lot from the get-go. The Night Before Christmas strikes me as the obvious crowdsourced choice, and I do watch it every year. But my true favorite is my beloved, well-worn VHS copy of Tim Burton's 1984 original short, Frankenweenie. It's much better as a tight 30-minute live-action, low-quality, black-and-white, campy parody of a B-movie than it was ever going to be as a full-length animated commercial fare it became in 2012. I will continue to watch it every Halloween night as long as I have a functional VHS player. Rita. Oh, cool.
That took an unexpected twist.
It really did. It was a deeper cut than I thought. Respect to Rita.
Yeah. Also, Rita's correct about that original Frankenweenie short. I remember watching it before the latest movie came out. It's really good and like really raw Burton, like early Burton, which I think is really fun.
Yeah. And he just took that and slammed it together with his other short, Vincent, to make the animated one that was like the 2012 one, which was... I don't know, lazy. You know, post.
I mean, it was fine.
Post Tim Burton that cares.
Honestly, I think Frankenweenie is one of those movies, the 2012 version, that people will remember more fondly in like 20 years.
Interesting. All right, maybe I trash talked it with no purpose. Who knows?
This next one is.
I have seen this one. I've
seen most of this one. Pretty sure. So did this one come from anyone? This one doesn't have a thing on it.
I should look that up.
Anyway, let me read it. It's, for this great debate, I would like to make a case for Carrie being the best movie to watch on Halloween. Of course, the 1976 version, Dave.
Yeah, wow. Dave.
Yeah.
Because what is this season about? It's about donning a new identity for a night and enjoying life, which I guess is what Carrie is about, sort of. In a political period wrought with disregard for the rights and health of women, Carrie is a refreshingly cathartic experience in 2018. Fair point. She destroys the institutions that have brought her down for so long and punished everyone who abused her, but not before having the chance to be happy and popular for one night. In the end, her legacy lingers on the ashes of destruction as a reminder of the dangers of pushing someone too far. That is why, at least for 2018, I nominate Carrie as the best movie to watch on Halloween. Only because on a holiday, we don't need to be scared, but have fun. And what's more fun than a young woman becoming punishing hand of wrath toward the power, becoming a punishing hand of wrath? Probably it's better. It's a plus. It's probably a better Dark Phoenix movie than any that we're getting in the near future. Joanna, keep umming and eyeing through life. You're the awesome David Neal. You two are pretty cool too. Thanks, Will. I think you're also pretty cool.
Wait, can I tell an anecdote before we move on to our last listener email, which is that today I was interviewing the executive producer of a very popular TV show, and she was trying to describe something to me, and she was like, well, you're probably, it was just on the phone. She's like, oh, you're probably too young for Cheers. And I was like, I know who Sam and Diane are. And she was like, oh, well, you just sound really young. And I was like, oh, my like and my ums and my and my like the way that I talk, like I'm from California, like, pays off for once. Not that, you know, there's anything wrong with being older, but I was like, oh, how nice. You think I'm young. I'm not. Anyway,
we'll just get you jeweling more often. That'll cut down on that sweet voice of yours.
Oh my god!
Go
guanga yourself down to 7-Eleven, pick up a Jewel pod.
This episode was not brought to you by Jewel.
Oh man, we're gonna be the first Game of Thrones podcast sponsored by a vape, aren't we? So weird.
Actually, we okayed it for incidentals, so for all we know, we have been.
Yeah, that's true.
Joanna got to meet a best friend from the East Bay, so I'm going to pick our last one, which I have an odd feeling is going to be our listener favorite.
Yeah.
From Laura from Loveland, Colorado, who says, "Hi, SOS fam. I had to write in with my entry for your great debate and put in one for the folks who cannot hang with horror movies. Every October, I have to be on the watch for horror movie previews. I'm that much of a wuss. My entry for the great debate is the millennial classic, Hocus Pocus. Logistically, it's a short, fun romp for a weeknight where small humans are coming to your door. Read, it's over by bedtime at 9, and the little ones won't sneak a peek of gore when you pause for candy distribution. In fact, if their parents are parenting correctly, they'll know the next lines of dialogue for that scene. Yes, it's campy, but we can't deny that Bette, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy are acting their butts off for camp. They're all in, and that makes the movie Chef's Kiss for fun times. The added effect of a talking cat and the ladies out there, hi, and Billy, the reanimated corpse, make this movie my absolute go-to every year." That was from Laura. And she's picked Hocus Pocus, which I'm guessing is going to survive into this poll.
"I put a spell on you."
Man, that's such a good movie.
"Now you're mine." Yeah.
So we have to take all these good movies and narrow them down to 4? Or we're going to...
Yeah, well...
Bracket.
We could do 3 and 3. There's 6. How many?
3 and 3.
6. We could do 3 and 3, and then wow, that's a lot of polls. But we can figure it out.
I'm unwilling to cut any of these.
Yeah, the only ones you could cut, there's the 2 George Romero ones. Maybe you could say only one George Romero thing, but that feels even weird to say. No, we'll do 2, 3 and 3 polls. We'll do them for, you know, a couple. I'll figure it out. I'll figure out when to run the polls. It'll be fine.
Figure it out.
Right, so we got a whole week to figure it out.
That's right. So that means you're going to have to check us out on Twitter at twitter.com/stormspoilers. We'll be tweeting out polls to decide the winner of this great debate. Greatest Halloween movie, greatest movie to watch on Halloween. Your poll will be specifically named, and then it'll be a great bowl battle and a kerfuffle, and there'll be 2 more episodes of Halloween-related content and answers for you coming up on this show. Star Wars spoilers. Neil, how does that start next week?
So next week we are going to be exploring what I like to call Michael and Lori, a 40-year friendship. Or the Halloween franchise. So I know, Dave, you're probably watching all of them, right? That seems like a...
Oh, I have watched 10 and am picking up the new one this weekend.
So Dave's going to watch all of them. Joanna's already seen the new one.
Yup.
I might watch some. We'll see.
Why don't you watch like either the here would be my suggestion. Watch either the original or H2O.
I was thinking I might
watch H2O this week.
I'm thinking maybe I'll watch the original and then the new one. I'll go see the new one
before
the pod. So, cuz I feel like I should see the new one, I guess. So yeah, well,
you're signing up now for a segment 1 next week, which is Dave talks about 10 movies that you guys have.
Yeah, and I just put my head down on my desk and take a nice like okay.
Well, Joanna's also going to watch H2O, so there's that.
It's going to go on for long enough that I might sing a Rob Zombie song in between the 2 Rob Zombie Halloweens, and I don't think you guys would know.
That should just be the first segment. It's just Dave does 15 minutes of Rob Zombie lyrics.
Can we do our best impression of the Halloween theme song right now? How does it go? Because like,
this is like, I dropped off at the point where I didn't know anymore. So
that's when I just started pewing. So
it'll be a fun week next week. In terms of the stuff that you are probably not going to watch and I'll fill you in on, we'll get introducing Paul Rudd. We'll get introducing Josh Hartnett. We'll get a mask melting to a child's face and turning into like centipedes. But it's yeah.
Well, the only other homework I might suggest if you want to listen to another podcast is listen to the How Did This Get Made about which season, Halloween season of The Witch, which is my only experience of that movie is through, our friends that had this get made describing it. And it is enjoyable.
That is also, have either of you listened to Amy Nicholson's Halloween thing?
I was just going to bring that up.
Yes.
I think I'm going to listen to that in preparation so that I don't say stuff like, and there's buses.
Halloween Unmasked is doing a really good job at also providing historical context for the Halloween movies.
Yeah.
Which will probably not be something we're doing, since I am certainly not an authority on serial killers. Yes.
Nor am I a serial killer. So I guess we don't have that expertise.
You're just the real killer.
Right.
You're the real killer. Don't look at how it's spelled. So until next week, when we'll be talking about 11 Halloween movies.
Oh, yeah.
Where can people find more of your work online? Joanna Robinson.
You can find me on VanityFair.com. Follow me on Twitter at Joe Wrote This until someone suggests a different Twitter handle for me. And you can listen to me talk about award season movies on the Little Gold Monsters podcast, Little Gold Men podcast. We're just calling it Little Gold Monsters right now. And lastly, you can find me on Still Watching Romanoffs, where we, Richard and I, are the only two people on the planet watching the Matthew Weiner show, The Romanoffs. So there you go.
And Neil Miller.
You can get me on the Twitter, twitter.com/@rejects. You can get the show on Twitter at Storm of Spoilers. You can also email us, stormofspoilers@gmail.com. You can find things that I've mostly edited on filmscorerejects.com. And also, as I said last week, my best stuff at One Perfect Shot, always. So there you go. That's me.
And I'm Dave Guangzales. Nope. So close.
You guangy the shit out of that one.
I can't. There's like a demon in a bad Bruce Campbell movie that's name is Guangi or Guangji, and it's just messing me up.
You can find me on Twitter at DA7E. You can also find me on the Fighting in the War Room podcast. Movies are getting good again. And then also, shit's coming out on Netflix at an alarming rate. So, yeah, Fighting in the War Room's gotta pick up the pace to make sure that you have reviews of all the stuff. You should find that at fightingintheworm.com. So until next week, when we all figure out exactly what wonky means, you need to not fall down.